Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
If you don't want to hear real facts on social and political issues, then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts, with real people.
His name is Joe.
Instead of fighting with these people, what I do is I throw stats at them. Let them go with it.
The Adventures of Joe.
But I've actually even got to the point now when somebody starts arguing with me, prove your facts. I go, now.
All right, what do you say, Joe? What do you say to that?
You didn't prove yours. Mine, you can find at the CDC or on the FBI website. You need to do your own homework. Because when you spoon feed them, even when you do that, they tell you you're wrong, even though they have nothing to back it up with. Just like AOC. Nothing.
I'm going to deal with topics and issues that will make you think. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
It's the Joe Messina Show.
And welcome, top of hour number three. How are you guys doing tonight out there? Oh, my goodness. It's a hot one here on the left coast. And if you are on the east coast, you guys are checking this weather situation going on here. Yee. As a survivor of the hurricane last week here in Southern California, my heart goes out to you. No, I'm kidding. That was nonsense. But what we're looking at here right now is actually pretty scary. And I'll be back here on Thursday night. Whiskey Dave here in the chair for Joe. Joe will be back tomorrow night. I'll be here on Thursday night for another three solid hours. And we're going to be having Dave Carter, who's going to be contacting us from the panhandle of Florida, where he lives. And hopefully is going to be okay. Our thoughts and our prayers are going to be with you guys over the next 24 hours. It looks like a pretty serious one, folks. And by the way, we've got a couple of stations in the Tampa Bay area you guys are listening to right now over at WGUL 860 AM in Tampa Bay and WWPR 1490 AM in Tampa Bay on the GCN radio network. So thoughts and prayers out with you guys, and hope you guys it isn't as bad. Hopefully it is like it was here in Southern California last week, where we just had a few hours of rain. This hour, hour number three, I'm fascinated by what's going on in Hawaii. I'm fascinated for a couple of reasons. Obviously, I'm absolutely horrified by what we've all seen. Most people, especially here on the West Coast, you've been to Maui, you've been to Lahaina, we've all been there, in many cases, several times. And just watching the absolute destruction of a beautiful town in a beautiful part of the world, absolutely devastated and destroyed in one fell swoop. And then the following death numbers, and they are really, really slow rolling this thing out. It's absolutely stunning to me that the way that they're handling this, and I get it, they want to be absolutely sure, and in some cases people were just incinerated, and there's really, really no way for them to determine who people are. I get that. But it's now starting to come out that this wasn't just some, as you know, the first few days of this whole thing, it was all about climate change. Every single conversation I heard, whether it was from the governor of the state of Hawaii, Joshua Green, what a guy, perfect politician. I mean, this guy is, and listen, I would not want to be in any of their positions right now. They're human beings, and I get it. They've got this tragedy on their hands. But what it is now, what we are seeing, what we are now starting to learn, is the level of malfeasance. The absolute, the corruption and the destruction because of this malfeasance and destruction is something that could have been preventable. You know, last week when I was on the show, I was talking about this, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, because I think I spoke to my next guest friend, Tom, who's going to be joining us here in a few minutes, who was actually there in Lahaina. And he's going to share a story with you that's going to absolutely make the hairs of the back of your neck stand. But I was talking about how, you know, when we were used to all go to Maui, and I've been going to Maui since I was a teenager, I remember the plantations, the pineapple plantations. And there were tours, and you go, and you taste pineapple right there. And it was wonderful. And apparently, a lot of these plantations have shut down. They've been sold off. They've been sold to real estate developers or the federal lands. And they have been replaced with something that a lot of people, and I didn't, I'll certainly admit that, never heard of before this whole Maui situation occurred. And it is something called guinea grass. Now, guinea grass is a really fast-growing, invasive plant. They say when it rains, it can grow up to 6 inches a day. A day! 6 inches! I could make a crude joke right now, but this is national radio. So rather than keeping the fast-growing guinea grass in check by regular mowing and just making sure that the maintenance of these parcels of land didn't get out of hand, or better yet, removing and replacing with fire-resistant native grasses and plants. Guinea grass is from Africa. It's not native. The Hawaiian government allowed guinea grass to take over large areas of the islands, including the mountain slopes next to Lahaina. And for the last decade, there have been report after report after report after report saying that there is a massive wildfire potential. And what did they do about it? Nothing. And then we actually had the fires. And it turns out that there are lawsuits against Hawaii Electric. And they are claiming responsibility for one of the poles going down, but it didn't cause the big fire or some nonsense. It's going to go legal. But we know that Hawaii Electric, it's their fault what took place. But what we don't know, what is now starting to come out, is why were firefighters prevented? Why were they stopping people from leaving Lahaina and sending them back, as they did with our guest here in just a couple of minutes? What took place? What was the protocols? Then you have a wildfire that they've been talking about. It's written documentation for a decade saying that there could be a massive wildfire. And we've got one road going in and one road going out. How do we prevent the tragedy that we just saw? And like most things in our country, the media is going to forget about it. But these questions need to be answered. We're going to have Tom Arritt on right after the break here. Don't go away. He was right there. And his shocking story is going to be, it's going to make you so angry. It certainly made me. Don't go away, folks. Whiskey Dave here in the chair at Realside Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Talking funny because I'm in the witness protection program. I have too much credit card debt and I don't want people to find me.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about credit card debt. Right, those plastic things that we all have in our wallet. Are you in your 50s or 60s and you're still carrying around a mound of credit card debt? Wouldn't it be nice to start banking that money and save a little money for retirement down the road? We help people restructure their credit card debt all the time. We show people how they can get out of credit card debt in months, not years. Listen, you'll be carrying around credit card debt for the rest of your life unless you deal with it right now. We offer a free consultation so you can learn how you can finally wipe out your credit card debt and start saving money. Give us a free call right now.
Call Debt Solutions Network now. Call 800-504-8356. 800-504-8356. That's 800-504-8356.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no
out-of-pocket cost to you.
And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-876-4024. 800-876-4024. 800-876-4024. That's 800-876-4024.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The thoughts of others screech at them like the forced laughs of a billion art house movie patrons.
Thus, they travel from world to world, making everyone stupid in order to wipe out all thought in the universe.
My God, they're like flying television.
They're like flying televisions. Whiskey Dave here in the chair for JoJo. As I mentioned, we'll be back again tomorrow night, and I will be back again on Thursday. And hopefully by Thursday, we will not be talking about what it appears to be a massive weather event happening in Florida. Idalia just upgraded to a Category 2 hurricane. Authorities are warning Gulf Coast residents to leave, calling it an unprecedented event. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has expanded the state of emergency to 49 counties. And we do have listeners in the Tampa area on two stations in Tampa, WWPR 1490, as well as The Answer, WGUL 860 AM. We wish you all safe. And I'll be
here on Thursday night. We'll be talking with Dave Carter, who's from the Panhandle, to recap all of that. But before that, I want to talk about another disaster, which in my mind is it's not just a weather disaster. Yes, there were winds, but it looks like it's more about malfeasance than anything else. And for sake of disclosure, this next guest is a friend of mine, and we went out, had drinks with a group of guys the other night, and he told me that he was in Hawaii, in Lahaina, and then proceeded to tell me a story that absolutely my jaw was on the table. Tom Arrett, how are you, my good buddy?
Hey, David, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So, I'm just gonna ask you to kind of give us, you know, the $2 version of this incredible story of what took place. You and your family were in Lahaina, outside of Lahaina in Maui, on the day of the fire, and tell us what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll just start the morning, Tuesday morning. We actually left the island of Maui to go to Honolulu to pay homage to the war center over there, and was having a great day. Things were really going good while we were there, but the events coming, we had to leave around 4 o'clock in the morning, and the winds were really, really bad. I've never experienced winds that were going 75 to 80 miles an hour in my life. This was the very first time, so... the experience of driving a car in winds was pretty incredible. I was telling my wife at that moment, I really hope they turn the power off because these winds were very, very aggressive. We were watching trees actually fall down as we were driving towards the airport. So luckily we made it to the airport, and then we just took off, and then, you know, we were in Honolulu. The interesting thing at that point, though, was that there really wasn't any buzz or anything going on over there talking about what was starting to happen over on the island of Maui. So by the time we got back, landed...
You flew back to Maui.
Yes, we flew back to Maui. Then we got back into our rental car, and then we started driving towards our resort, which is in Kaanapali. And... we did notice the fire at that time in Kula, and that is east of Lahaina, and it was really aggressive. It was a pretty big fire, and I was really concerned about that one, not knowing anything going on in Lahaina at all. So we decided to keep driving towards our resort, and then we get past Kihei at that point. So we're on the 30, which is their one road that goes through to Lahaina, to Kaanapali. And we get past the Pacific Whale Foundation Aquarium that's there, and we're about 2 miles past that, and then the road closed. And all of a sudden, we just heard that there was a fire in Kihei, and then, the stuff that was going on in Lahaina at that moment. There was probably about 80 cars deep on this road, and we're in the middle of nowhere at this point. You've got ocean to the left, and you've got the basically the mountainscape to the right of us, and there's nowhere to go. They kind of blocked us in, and we couldn't turn around and go back to the airport, and we couldn't proceed forward towards Kaanapali. And at that moment, nothing was really said. There were a couple of police officers that were there that had the roadblock, but it wasn't many of them. But I took the initiative to actually go speak with some of them, and they were just basically not saying anything. We knew of the fire, but that was about it. And they just said we just had to hang tight and wait and see. So at that point, it was interesting because the fact that when we were in our rental car, we had nothing on us. I mean, it was basically short shirts and flip-flops, and there was nothing else that we had in the car itself to take care of ourselves. And still no word. They weren't communicating with us. They weren't saying anything. So people were starting to get a little upset about the lack of communication that was happening, and I as well. And we finally did get some answers from one of the police officers, and he had told us that the road will open in 12 hours. So needless to say, we had to sleep in our car for that night. And, unfortunately, never really slept in a car before, but hopefully this is going to be the first and the only time I'll ever experience sleeping in a car. But it was very uncomfortable, didn't sleep well, woke up the next morning, 12 hours had passed, and nothing still was happening. There was no movement. The only thing that was allowed to go through were emergency vehicles, so we did see a lot of that activity happening. But they still weren't allowing us to go back or go forward. And so at that point, I proceeded to go speak to another police officer that was there. And again, there was not a lot of information that was being said. The 12 hours had passed. I told them that we were told it was going to be 12 hours. And they just basically at that point, they weren't getting aggressive, but they were getting, they were getting agitated themselves because a lot of people were going and asking, hey, what's going on? And so then another officer had showed up and said, we may be stuck here for 3 weeks. And so at that particular point, I went back to my wife and I was just telling her, hey, we got a bad situation here. So as that was going on, hours and hours and hours. Now, we haven't eaten any food at this point or had any water. And so we're in our second day, and we're probably around 5, 6 p.m. And we saw some trucks that came in, and there were some local people. And the locals had heard that we were stuck there. I don't know how they found out, but they actually had ham sandwiches. They were handing out water. We were given toothpaste and toothbrushes, and
I don't want to interject because this is fascinating, but we've got a commercial here coming back up, and I want you to stay through the break because this didn't end in day two. May not have ended day three. And so this is going to continue. But real quickly here, what kind of car was it? Nissan Altima, was it?
Yeah, it was a Nissan Altima.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So you guys were stuck on this thing, folks. This just gradually goes from bad to worse real quickly here. Don't go away. Real Side Radio here, Whiskey Dave here in the chair. I've got Tom Arrett, who was on the ground in next to Lahaina doing this whole thing, and it wasn't just that one day, as you're about to soon see after the break. Real Side Radio, don't go away. We got news and commercials coming up, and we'll be right back after the break.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-876-4024. 800-876-4024. 800-876-4024. That's 800-876-4024.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S.
USA News Update. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is urging residents in the state's Big Bend area to evacuate as Hurricane Idalia gains strength.
You know, you're talking about really, really significant storm surge potential.
Speaking Tuesday, DeSantis noted that storm surge could reach 10 to 15 feet. The Category 2 hurricane is expected to make landfall on Wednesday. During another event led by Republican lawmakers, a Gold Star father is condemning President Biden for the 2021 botched pullout from Afghanistan. Mark Schmitz's son, Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, was killed, along with 12 other service members, in a suicide bombing at the Kabul airport.
Public airport surrounded by a chain-link fence in an urban environment without even a usable air traffic control tower.
He accuses Biden of ignoring key intel that warned the Afghani government would quickly collapse. He said, "No one has been held accountable for what happened." I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I'm Slim Shady. Yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So, won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up? Please stand up.
How can you do a spoken word version of a rap song?
He found a way.
Walter White always finds a way. Whiskey Dave here in the chair for Joe, who will be back tomorrow night, and I will be back here on Thursday for another three solid, fun, rollicking hours here at Realside Radio. But before we get there, we've got Tom Arrett, who was on the island of Maui, not just the day of the fire, but the following days in a situation that is just unthinkable to me. Welcome back to the show, Tom. Thank you for joining us tonight. So before the break, you were sharing with us that you flew back onto Maui from Honolulu the day of the fire. You went through Lahaina towards, was it Kanapali, and you got stuck on the road. You, your wife, your son were stuck in a Nissan Altima for at least what now is overnight. You were there all the way through your second day. And what then took place?
Yeah, sure. So at that point, we're going into the third day, and so we were just basically sitting there pretty much throughout the whole duration that we were there for the third day, and nothing was being said. So the communication was pretty lousy. So we weren't getting any kind of communication of when they were going to actually let us go. And so at that point, I was actually starting to make some friends that were there. So because there was about 80 cars that were stuck at that point. So it was approximately somewhere between 160 to 200 people, and got to meet quite a few of them that were actually local Californians. So it was, that part was kind of a positive in this whole situation. So third day goes in, and then finally another police officer came out and basically told us that we're probably going to be stuck here for one more day. So that means we're going to be here for 4 days total. Right at that moment, the winds really started to calm down, and that was actually a blessing in disguise when it came to the fires itself. So we just had to wait it out, you know, to the fourth day. And, you know, at this point, my body's getting really, really sore. I'm not really getting any good sleep, and neither is anyone else. So food was still not really being handled all that well. We did get another delivery from the locals that stopped by and gave us some more hot dogs and some water. So we didn't really eat all that much. When the time came to, you know, if you had to go to the bathroom, you either walked 2 miles back to the 76 gas station where they allowed you to go, which had a line of, you know, 100 plus people because there was only one bathroom that was there, or you just did what you had to do. So that was a little fun experience to experience. So that's, I'm not going to go any further than that.
Yeah.
So Friday morning, we opened up the back roadway for us to go back to the airport. And they were really aggressive in telling us to leave at that point. In fact, it was so aggressive that some people didn't want to leave. They still wanted to wait to even go forward. And they were bringing in tow trucks to tow these cars. If you weren't going to move, they were going to tow you away. So I wasn't one of those that was going to wait any longer. I figured, let's just go back to the airport. Let's see what we can do. So we are not able to get to our resort, so we're probably just going to leave everything there and let's just head back home. And so I was speaking to a gentleman on the way back, and he was saying, hey, they are bringing buses in to evacuate some of the people that are still stuck on the opposite side of Lahaina. There might be a good chance where we could sneak on that bus, get into over to the Kanipali side and get our stuff and get out. So I figured out we got nothing else to lose. Let's just give it a shot while we're at the airport. So we're at the airport, and unfortunately the buses never did show up. So that was some false information maybe, or they decided to bring the people elsewhere. This was about 10:30 in the morning, and about 10:45, the mayor of Maui got on the radio and announced that they were going to actually open up the road to Lahaina, and people can go back, the locals and the people that were in resorts. Now, just remember, these cars that were stuck there, there were a lot of local people, too, that were not allowed to enter to see about their loved ones or you know, to find out if, you know, if their homes were still there, or those that lived past Lahaina as well, where those homes weren't in danger at all. You know, there was no communication at that point. The phone lines are down, no internet, just the police officers and ourselves. And the communication was, again, I'm going to say it was appalling. It was terrible. So we decided to go back.
So, real quick question, though. Out of curiosity, because, you know, like you, I've been to Lahaina and that whole area. I've been up to Kapalua. You guys couldn't go northwest and what's that, Rotahana Road?
Yes. So that's a great question, because we actually attempted to do that at first when we were at the airport. And they closed that road down. Now, I can't really say why that road was closed. I've heard two rumors. I mean, one, the road's pretty dangerous to drive at night. It's very cliffy when you're going west, which is the opposite way to Hana. And then there were also rumors that, you know, some of the locals didn't want all those cars going through there, which I don't blame them as well. But driving at night's a very, very dangerous road anyway. So they had closed that road down. So we were
You guys were stuck there for 4 days and four nights.
Yeah, 4 days and four nights. It was an amazing experience. I'm going to be honest with you. Just the fact that I got to give kudos to my wife and my son, because they handled it really, really well. It's a true testament of, human nature. I was really proud of both of them in this kind of a situation, especially for a 16-year-old boy.
Sleeping in an Altima. Tom, was there any discussion of insurrection? I mean, you know, 24 hours is one thing, but 96 hours, is that right? Am I doing the math right? So was there any discussion amongst the, you know, your fellow hostages, which is, I guess, ostensibly what you guys were at that point, on the road?
Yeah, I mean, there were conversations. I mean, most of it was just jokingly. I mean, pretty much everyone was pretty calm, cool, and collected in the whole situation. I mean, we were like, hey, there's like 200 of us and three of them. I mean, you know, not a fair fight when it comes to that situation. But no, nobody was really aggressive. Everyone was very calm. And, you know, the good thing is people got together. I mean, whatever was in people's cars, everyone shared. You know, we actually had one person that was coming back from Costco, and they had some other stuff like snacks and stuff that they were handing out. But, I mean, obviously it wasn't enough to feed everybody. But, you know, people pulled together and just kept everything nice, really cool and calm.
Tom,
so,
in our last couple of minutes here, you know, commercial terrestrial radio, it's a reality. But in the last couple of minutes here, tell me a little bit about, now that you've got some perspective, it's been a couple of weeks, and what you're seeing since you came home. You're watching the YouTube, you know, videos of individuals. They're not allowing journalists to report fairly and freely there. What is your response to what you've seen as far as the reaction from the local government, the state government, the federal government, and everything else?
Well, being a witness there and experiencing what I experienced and some of the things that were said, you know, they're not telling the truth. I'm going to be real honest with you. There's a lot of finger pointing, but no one's actually taking responsibility for it. Power could have easily been turned off. Those alarms could have easily been turned on. The excuses that they're using is terrible. I mean, I'm just going to be real blunt with that. They were not ready for something like this, and shame on them. I had spoken to a couple of locals on Saturday, a couple of days before the hurricane, and they were talking to me about, you know, they've been talking for months about preparing for this situation, and the local government just didn't do anything, and they were very upset about it. You know, they were talking about that grass that's there, and, you know, along the whole mountainside, it's just everywhere, you know, and they're in a drought, and shame on them for not really, you know, taking care of the local people that are there. You know, we actually had the opportunity to drive through Lahaina after the fact, to get to our resort. And, you know, what you see on TV and the pictures is one thing, but when you actually see in live in person, it's 10 times worse, Dave. There are going to be hundreds and hundreds of deaths. And I'm really surprised they're only saying it's only 115 right now. And I'm not, and, you know.
Well, they're slow rolling it, you know. They're slow rolling it. Tom, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, we got a commercial break here, and greatly appreciate you taking the time. Thank goodness you and your family are safe, and we'll be talking real soon, bud. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care, Tom. And, folks, we'll be right back here for the last segment of the third hour here. Whiskey Dave in the chair at Realside Radio. Don't go away, folks.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Stop spouting the silly scientific gibberish. Just translate the foregoing into simple English, if you please.
That's what I've been trying to do the last 2 hours and 45 minutes, and that's translating everything into English for you. It's been a fun time tonight. We've had a lot to discuss, and I want to finish up talking a little bit about Hawaii and what Tom was just talking about here, which is... it's absolutely stunning. You know, we talk about politics, and we could talk about culture, and we do. We talk about a lot of different things on the show. Sometimes we even talk about movies and things. But when we talk about situations whereby, in my opinion, human malfeasance and the let's not even use the word corruption. We may see that, you know, especially when there's court cases pending right now with Hawaii's Electric company, Hawaii Power. You know, they're taking responsibility for one of the fires in Hawaii, but they're actually faulting county firefighters, apparently. Stunning.
And, you know, as Tom was just talking about, the reaction and the response that we've been seeing from the powers that be, whether it's Governor Green or the mayor of Maui, I forget his name, and all of the other hens there that are in the pecking order that you're seeing, they're all standing up. And, you know, listen, whatever you think about climate change, whatever your opinions are, okay, and I've had scientists on the show over the years that absolutely debunk it in every way possible. And there's others that say, yeah, there's something happening, okay, but the climate always changes. But the immediate response from Governor Green and the mainstream media in reporting on this absolute tragedy was that this is just another string to our bow to try to use the controlling mechanisms of big government largesse to control what you drive, what you cook on, how you clean your clothes, and everything else that goes along with that, because this fire is just another example of climate change, is absolutely been debunked. Absolutely been debunked. This is all on the Hawaiian and Maui governments. In fact, even the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, among many other news outlets, detail the fact that fire officials and the island's electric utility had warned for more than a decade, that the island was at extreme risk of wildfires due to the fuel buildup of this guinea grass that we talked about earlier. It's the naturally arid environment is always happening during a fire dry season. That is what happens. And high winds and the very confluence of conditions are responsible for the wildfires on Maui. It doesn't help the fact that Hawaii Electric was warned for years to gird their loins, so to speak. Go out and fix those darned power lines that are hanging. And despite this clear and present danger and a recent increase in wildfires because of these grasses, these invasive grasses that all dried up, the Hawaiian government ranked the wildfire risk as low. They said this. They said the Hawaiian government ranked it as low. It's not true. They lied. They lied to the media. They lied to the New York Times. They lied to the Wall Street Journal. Danny Barreto, executive director of Hawaii Wildfire Management Organization, stated Hawaii has a big wildfire problem. We are on par with the most fire-prone states in the western continental United States. The impacts of fire are broad and long-lasting. There is a lot we should and could do to prevent them. You know when she said that? May of 2023. Why did they do nothing? Why wasn't the Hawaiian government prepared for this? Why? I mean, we could talk about the sirens, as Tom just talked about, not going off. The stupid response was, well, we think that because the people think it's a tsunami, they go to higher ground. No, you're going to look to higher ground. You're going to see smoke coming your way, people. Why did they not trigger that island-wide siren system? And most importantly, this has been reported ad nauseum, why were Maui's fire hydrants empty? Yeah. Did you know that? New York Times, as Inferno grew, New York Times, the bastion of conservative media. Oh, my God. As Inferno grew, Lahaina's water system collapsed. Firefighters who rushed to contain the Maui wildfire found that hydrants were running dry, forcing crews to embark instead of a perilous rescue mission. Listen, climate change was not a significant factor in the Maui tragedy. I looked this up. Jim Steele, who is an ecologist, wrote, "The Maui fire would have devastated Lahaina in a colder or warmer climate. It would have devastated Lahaina in a high or low CO2 concentrations. Why? Because it was surrounded by this guinea grass. It was dry. The conditions were perfect for a wildfire. The officials ignored the warnings." And if these people do not suffer the legal or political consequences of their actions or inaction, and measures are taken to minimize the risk of this massive, large, devastating wildfire striking Maui or any other Hawaiian island, then I don't know what to say. This is all now about CYA. And the fact that they are putting this on climate change is, it's abhorrent to me. Because what they're doing is they're buying a line that many in the media immediately resort to. Because people like Hawaiian Governor Green, blaming climate change for Maui's raging fires and tragic, massive loss of life, is too despicable to even consider, other than the fact that he must be right. No human being would do that. This, the worst kind of opportunists, you know, to push your political agenda is dancing grotesquely on the graves of the bodies of those lives that were lost. They're exploiting death to push a political agenda. When you have ecologists telling you that this has nothing to do with climate change. This is about malfeasance. And they are now in a absolute panic, and now we can expect obstruction of justice. If Governor Green in Maui had just a fraction of the hundreds of millions of dollars and resources devoted to studying, billions of dollars and resources in studying and fighting, quote unquote, climate change in recent years, the invasive Guinea grasses would have been cleared. They would have been replaced with native fire-resistant plants, native to Hawaii. Again, the Guinea grasses are from Africa. We never saw this before. We didn't see this when they had the pineapple plantations. Why? And maybe they should have figured out a way to fill the water supply. Emergency plans put in place for drills and undertaken emergency exit routes so that Tom and his wife and his 16-year-old kid didn't have to sleep and live in a Nissan Altima for 4 days without food, without access to restrooms, trapped on a road, not knowing what the hell they're going to do. And they're the lucky ones. Because as it stands right now, there's a very strong likelihood it's going to get close to 1,000 people dead, many of them children. For what? This is not a natural disaster. This is a man-made preventable disaster. It happened because of the power lines. Hawaii Electric took responsibility. They've already said. This isn't lightning. This wasn't some arsonist. This was the power company, the same situation that we saw in Paradise in Northern California. If any of these actions, or dozens of others, were taken, it would have done more to reduce the devastation and the havoc wreaked on thousands of people's lives. Each of those individuals, let's call it 1,000. It may be 800, maybe 700, it's one too many. Whatever number it is, they all have families, they all have friends. Those children, countless children, were incinerated. So I'm just going to say this. This is the issue of our time. The tragedy in Lahaina, it's going to come and go from our headlines. The people that live there, hopefully they're not going to be taken advantage of by the real estate opportunists or the government, and they can go back and rebuild. But the issue of our time is government malfeasance. It's government not doing what it has been hired to do. This was completely preventable. You can't stop a hurricane. You can't stop a volcano. You can't stop an earthquake. But you could certainly prevent an electric utility company from letting their lines dangle in the wind
And you could have refilled the coffers with water, and you could have turned on a siren and a couple of other dozen things, allowing people to move freely. And it would have saved lives. Absolutely disgusting. Folks, I'll be back on Thursday night. I'm looking forward to it. Joe will be back tomorrow night. And our thoughts and prayers are to everybody in Florida. Batten down those hatches, folks. We'll be talking again on Thursday night. Have a great evening, everybody. Good night.